Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eduardo Harari, and welcome to Spanglish Sports World English Edition on the Barn Burner Network and Single TV Channel 250. I just want to remind you, if you haven't yet done so, to download both all our apps on the OSG Single and Barn Burner Network apps on the respective stores on iOS and Android. As well, let me remind you that the applications are absolutely free, so there is no reason why not to download them and enjoy them. Once you download them, please leave us a rating and a comment as you are using it to let us know how they are working and what type of programming do you want to see here on the Barn Burner Network. And let me remind you as well that Single TV can also be found on Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and Amazon Fire TV Sticks, on Roku and Roku Sticks, and on all TVs 2016 and forward. Well, we are waiting for John to appear here on our screen very soon. But let's start with a recount of what was the Nations League, tournament for bidding for a spot towards the World Cup 2023, or well, now 2024, because as we know, the last World Cup has been slated farther out. So, due to COVID. So, the matches that transpired this week, interesting matches. Latvia beat Andorra 5-0. Now, Latvia is one of those teams that just doesn't want to quit, that will get into your defense of the other team and tire it out until they are able to score. In this game, the Andorra defensive unit could not hold, didn't hold well. Hey, look at that. It's Mr. John Freeman Nelson of OSG Sports. How's it going?
Let's see. This is officially the third show that I've done this morning already. One after this, as you well know, to talk about that stuff that you're wearing today and the possible future or lack thereof of Coach Kaki in Ann Arbor.
Yes, it is. After last week's loss against Wisconsin, it was disastrous.
Yeah. I got to figure out who's going to cut that check, and then Harbaugh will go back to the NFL, like maybe to the Jets or something.
So, John, I was starting to talk with our audience about what transpired in Nations League in Europe. Interesting matches, some really good games. But one that caught my attention, and although it doesn't have much of an impact on what's going to happen, was the Latvia Andorra game.
All right. 5-0. Lay it out for me. What happened with Latvia and Andorra?
So I actually watched about 45 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
It was just Latvia walking all over the defensive unit of Andorra, which yeah. Normally, Andorra is a very solid team defensively. That's the only thing they know. They don't usually score a lot of goals, but they were really good defensively before, and it just surprised me.
Yeah, well, when you get five on the board, Chernomorji scores in the sixth, then Ekaniak scores twice, Gutkowski scores a penalty to make it four. Then Andorra gets a red, and then that leads to the Garcia red leads to the fifth goal from Krolis in the 90th. And so I know that when you're looking at any any match like this, and you sit there and you're looking at a five-goal, you know, five goals on the board, but okay, so now I know where we are. We're in League D. All right, so Andorra only scored once in group stage. Now I know why Andorra is giving up five, because half of them went to Latvia in match week six. In that group, Group D, or League D Group 1, if you haven't, and this is for everybody who's watching, if you haven't seen a match from the Faroe Islands, make sure that when you're watching national team play, when you're watching Nations League, if you have the chance to see a match from the Faroe Islands National Stadium, do it, because it is gorgeous. They've taken a stadium and they put it, basically they've dropped it into a section of the island where literally there's like some hills, and then over the hills it's the water. And so it is gorgeous when you're looking at Faroe Islands, you know, as a part of this group. But yeah, when you're Andorra and you lose three in a row to end your group stage in League D, you're at the bottom of the barrel in Nations League. And now I know why we're seeing what we're seeing. But yeah, two places to watch home matches: Faroe Islands and Gibraltar. And the reason I say Gibraltar is because the national stadium is next to the national airport. And so picture it this way. Think of if someone in Mississauga built a soccer stadium and it was right up against Pearson International Airport. That's what you have in Gibraltar. So you have a team playing soccer, and then you have planes taking off behind the soccer field, going off into the distance and taxiing away. So, yeah, that's your trivia for the morning. Watch a home match in the Faroe Islands. Watch a home match from Gibraltar, just because of the optics. It's gorgeous.
So I'm going to touch on the next game, because that game really was a shocker. Spain defeats Germany 6-0.
Okay, yeah, I figured you were going to go here. So lay it out for me.
I give a lot of credit to Spain, but that shouldn't have happened.
No.
I mean, considering that half or 75% of that German team is composed of Munich players, they should be able to take Spain without regard.
Okay, so here's your rundown of what happened there. Goal from Morata in the 17th. Ferran Torres scores in the 33rd. Rodri scores in the 38th. Torres scores two more to get his hat trick. And then Oyarzabal scores in the 89th to make it 6. Here's some of the numbers from the match. Shots. 23 shots for Spain. 2 for Germany. None of them on target. 10 of the 23 shots from Spain were on target. 6 of them ended up in the net. Then you're looking at possession, 70-30. You're looking at a whole bunch of other things there. But really the biggest question has to do with the future of Jogi Löw as the head coach of Germany. A lot of folks were wondering why he was there, and that because of Germany's play recently in the international stage, that his time had passed. I mean, he's been there in some manner, way, shape, or form since 2006. But a lot of folks were saying, why is he here for this cycle? Why is he still in charge of Germany's national team? And now I think that the questions need to be raised that much more. Why is Jogi Löw still around? And I think that they wanted to keep him through the next Euro stage. But really, I think that the message has gotten stale. And I just don't think that I think his time is waning, but I really think that after a match like this, I don't know why he has even survived this long to continue to be the manager of the German national side.
Yeah, and I understand that. But you still have 11 players out there from the German team that are solid players. I mean...
No, I know. I mean, you look at the lineup. Here's their lineup. Timo Werner, Serge Gnabry, Leroy Sané, Toni Kroos, Ilkay. I mean, you're going up against, Gundogan, Goretzka, Neuer in net, Koch, Süle, Hinter, and Max as your back four. I know you look at that front six and Neuer in net, but there are just some days where the defense was just hideous. I mean, they ran for days and even admitted it post-match. You had some of the players sit there and go, it could have been worse. We scored six. We should have scored more. That should tell you something about the German national team right now, that no matter who is there on that 11, then things are different. And you've got to, it's like, you know, you got to have a change.
Yeah. Next game I want to touch base on, and it was an interesting game because really it was a very balanced game. Portugal-Croatia.
Yeah.
A 3-2 game in which Portugal, without, we know that the gentleman by the name of Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't playing.
Yeah.
It showed a lot of stamina for Portugal to come out with a win there.
Yeah, but, you know, once again, I think that Croatia aren't as strong as a national side as they have been in years past. And so for Portugal to get a result, sometimes these results end up being more offensive-based than defensive-based, even if Cristiano Ronaldo isn't a part of the discussion. So I think that that's how you ended up with things being the way that they were in this particular match. You know, not a surprise Portugal won, surprised that five goals ended up on the board.
So I wanted to ask you, because you are more familiar with the rules of how they advance to the next stage. I imagine first two advance and then the best threes advance. Is that correct?
I mean, Nations League, it's the winners of the groups. And basically the winners of the groups get to go on to advance in competition. And then the guys who are two and three, they just kind of get to hang out. They're done. And then you have promotion and relegation with the teams that finished last in the group stages among all sections A, B, C, and D, where if you won in D, then you get promoted. If you were relegated from group C, you go down, so on and so forth. So if you're in A and you finish last in your group in group A, then you get relegated to group B. If you've won group B, you come up and participate in group A. So really what it really only does is it impacts those who win the group stage and finish last in the group stage. Those who finish second and third are just basically hanging out.
Okay, so now you put something into perspective. No, because Israel finished with 8 points. They beat Scotland in the last game 1-0. So I was aiming at seeing where they would flow, but so they won't flow anywhere.
Yeah, basically they're just kind of floating right now. They're kind of hanging out.
Okay. Perfect. So now that we finish with Nations League, let's move on to what's happening right now as we speak in the Premier League. Because there is matches going on as we speak. Yep. Well, today there is already one score.
Yep.
Chelsea beats Newcastle 2-0. And Aston Villa is right now leading tight. Right,
we have an equalizer. It's 1-1 in the 55th.
Yeah. So with this win, do you think Chelsea is now prepared to move? Because next week we already start the Champions Tournament. And Chelsea has a very strong, heavy match coming up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that if you're a team like Chelsea and you're having to balance European competition with your domestic, to have a comfortable win like this, and Newcastle, frankly, is just painful to watch. And when you can have a win like this, I mean, Steve Bruce, the manager at Newcastle, it's like trying to drive a car with the emergency brake on. And it doesn't matter if you're trying to back up and get out of the garage or if you're trying to go forward and get onto the road so you can run your errands. Either way, Newcastle with Steve Bruce is painful to watch on the pitch. And when you have a game like this, to putting my crunching the numbers hat on, he's a plus. They came in at a plus 615 in the composite. in this particular matchup against Chelsea. Chelsea was a minus 222. You figured they were going to win. They needed a win like this, even though I'm sure that it was like taking a hammer to your hand on a desk and kind of sitting there and going like this for 90 minutes trying to get a result. But Newcastle's just a painful watch. And so to get a comfortable win like this heading into European play, hopefully you got to rest some folks and rotate your squad a little bit. But, you know, Newcastle is just – I can't really think of anything positive to say about Newcastle when they're out there right now.
So, interesting matches coming up today.
2-1 lead.
2-1?
Brighton has just scored to take a 2-1 lead.
Awesome. So, there is some other interesting matches happening today and a couple tomorrow.
Yep.
First one, Man City, Tottenham. My take on this, Man City, should we take that one?
Yeah.
Then there is Man United against West Brom. Yeah. That should prove okay for Man United, but West Brom has had its sparks up and down.
Well, and it just depends on which West Brom shows up. Is Slaven Bilic's side going to be the one that's tough defensively that can cause problems, take advantage of something in transition and get that one opportunity to just get the goal on the board and then basically try to defend and counter for the rest of the game with a one-goal lead? Yeah, Manchester City should take care of business. What stuns me is that Tottenham is listed north of plus 300 right now to win, and the draw is pretty much the same. So that's a bit of an interesting number right there. Yes, Manchester City is at a minus 120. That's an understood. The late game today, Manchester United, minus 255. Not a surprise there. But once again, West Brom coming off of an international break, they might get that one opportunity and cause some problems for Manchester United. But I still think Manchester United should, emphasize the word, should take care of business.
And tomorrow there is the 2:15 game of Liverpool against Leicester City. That should be a very good match. Both squads have – Liverpool has something to prove after their disastrous 2-week break before the break. They had a bad loss. And Leicester City is there. Like, they are steady. And I don't know –
Okay, so let's take this two different ways. Liverpool, minus 110, not a surprise. They should be the favorite. Leicester is just under plus 290 to win the game. Now, you look at Liverpool, it's the issues on defense. With issues at center back, you're going to end up, you're hoping that Matip and Reece Williams can be a stopgap and see what you can do. Jurgen Klopp said this week that he doesn't really know what kind of shopping he can do in January because of all the injuries. You don't have Van Dijk, you don't have others, and it's just causing an issue at the back when it comes to being able to, keep the other guy from scoring and having some kind of a solid defensive back four that you can have on a game-by-game basis with all the European competition that we've been talking about. So that's the problem for Liverpool. Are they going to be able to do something in January? Can they bring in an Alaba to – shore up the back? Are they going to have to bring in like guys like Daryl Yanmat who played at Watford last year, and right now he's just hanging out? And Yanmat has said on social media, right here, I can give you a little help. All I'm looking to do is, play for this season, and then we'll go from there. Do you bring in a Daryl Yanmat? Do you bring in a David Alaba? So questions for Liverpool there. Defensively, off, and once again with Mo Salah having tested positive for COVID-19, you don't know how long you're not going to for a double negative, and I know my mom would get after me for that. You don't know how long you're not going to have Mo Salah as your talisman, and it's an issue right now for Liverpool. So those are the Liverpool questions. They still have enough firepower to be able to distance themselves from Leicester. That's the easy part. But defensively, can Leicester, with their scoring power with guys like Tielemans and Jamie Vardy and such, can they take advantage of the problems at the back and get a result here? That's the bigger question on the board.
So the other game that I find interesting is going to be Leeds United against Arsenal.
Take the over.
Take the over.
Take the over.
So let's jump now to La Liga. because the news out of Spain are huge. It seems like Messi is ready to sign on the dotted line to remain in Barcelona.
I mean, come on. I mean, it depends on who you – if you listen to Victor Font, Victor Font's going to say all the right things about wanting to keep Messi. I still think Messi's gone. But the thing is, you and I talk about this every single week, and we don't see any change. Barcelona is in such horrible shape financially, they can't afford to keep him. They need to get, what was it, 189 million euro off the books, or figure out how to make up 189 million euro by January 1st, or they're going into bankruptcy proceedings. You can't sign Lionel Messi and have 189 million euro that you need to find a way to get rid of and keep him around. I don't see where the math is going to work here. I really don't. And I know that today at 3 o'clock, they've got Atleti, and it's going to be a great watch. And everybody's looking at this one as a shared result and a draw. So I look at the finances first and foremost. You've got to get rid of some players.
Well, they picked up a new board member. So,
Is he bringing a wallet with him?
Yes, he does. Rafael Nadal.
Oh, okay. And the fact that he's a Real fan, it's his family. Rafa is a Real Madrid fan. And so his family members that aren't Rafa are a part of the board, but Rafa's a Real Madrid fan. I don't know if Rafa's going to want to spend any of his Real Madrid fan money on Barca, though.
He signed on the dotted line, supposedly, from what I heard on last night. Was the last news I saw on Marca.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Until I see it, then I ain't counting on it a bit. Barca is in a world of hurt financially. They got to fix things first.
So live right now on the 49th minute, we have Real beating Villarreal 1-0. No surprise there. In that match, but Real needs to come up with a couple more goals to add to their advantage to rise on in the table, because they are not at a very steady point right now on that leader's table.
Right, and so I mean that's Real's got to get a result. I anticipate that they will. A lot of folks were looking at this one as pretty much even Steven going in. Don't be surprised if Villarreal ends up getting something late. But Real, right now, they're higher in the table than Barcelona, although Barca's got a couple of matches in hand, and they can rock it up pretty quickly if they get results. And that's the big key here. Real hangs on. I think really the story so far is actually there's two of them. Villarreal is one of them. The other is Real Sociedad, who play tomorrow, where – they've got we had Kevin Egan on Soccer Down Here yesterday morning, and he's a part of the La Liga coverage here in the United States, and how Real Sociedad is another club that just has players who are Basque and is a part of their makeup. But then when you bring in someone like a David Silva who can help you offensively, Real Sociedad so far this season has only given up 4 goals. And they're a favorite going to Cadiz. Cadiz is another one of the great stories so far. I think they're in the Europa League spot right now as we're talking at the quarter pole. But Real Sociedad and Villarreal, two of the great stories coming out of the block so far.
So let's head to Italy quickly and look at it. At one of the matches going on today at 2:45, Cagliari against Juventus. I feel like Cagliari has a good chance, even if they are traveling into Juve territory.
I'm just going to say this. If you have any spare juice boxes and you're that confident, I'm going to give you the number going into this match. Juve is a minus 385 to win. Cagliari plus 1075 in the composite. So if you can find a juice box purveyor that will let you put something down on a plus 1075 and you're that confident about it, sir, you go right ahead.
Yeah, but let's go on what Juve has done in the last couple of weeks. They haven't done anything. They have lost against worse teams than Cagliari.
Yeah, I know. But and once again, you're looking at coming off of an international break. You're looking at schedule compression. But honestly, I'm looking at it for one reason and one reason only. And I know that Cagliari should have no business beating Juve, but it's at home. And I know that we talk about home field advantage really not meaning much this season of all seasons. But I just think that with a better side, you haven't had a whole lot of travel. You're not having to do any game day travel to get from location to location. I think Juve takes care of business and won't be the prettiest thing in the world. It shouldn't be the prettiest thing in the world for your first match back, but I think that Juve takes care of business.
All right. So let's go now on to the German league, because that's really happening. We already have a result from the Bayern and Werder match. Yep. I at one.
Well, and Josh Sargent for those who are fans of United States national team soccer, Josh Sargent got the assist for the Werder Bremen goal against Bayern today.
Now, are the injuries to Bayern currently going to affect them a whole lot?
Well, I mean, yeah, you've got the draw today. Let's look at numbers. I mean, right now, through eight matches, they're a point ahead of Bayer Leverkusen, who's won their last five. Bayern's only lost one match this season in the first eight match weeks. Then you're getting into RB Leipzig, who's third, Dortmund in fourth. And RB Leipzig and Dortmund have matches in hand, so even if they were to win, that takes them to 19 and 18. I think that you're going to have a logjam early, but once we get through European competition, I think that's when things will even out. I think it's still going to end up being Bayern Munich and Dortmund by the time we're getting to the money end of the schedule. But right now, just because of all of these things that are going on that we have to talk about on a weekly basis, Bayer Leverkusen's hot. They won their last five. Leipzig has won four of their last five. Dortmund has won four of their last five. Bayern has won four of their last five. So it's going to be a staring contest for quite some time.
All right, so let's head, because we are getting to the U.S. side.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had a game between the New England Revolution and the Montreal Impact.
Yep.
2-1 victory for New England. That wasn't a surprise, much of a surprise there.
Nope. Bo knows football. That's all I got to say. Gustavo Bo gets the 95th minute game winner. Bo knows football. And U.S. fans know what I'm talking about.
So, is Henry done in Montreal anytime soon?
I look at this season, and unless things go completely and totally off the rails for a club, and I know that Joey Saputo is one that wants things done his way. He wants them done his way now. I think that this season you're going to have a lot of owners exhibit patience with their coaches, because you can't really bring players in. You're having to deal with injuries. You're home away from home. You lose seven of your last eight. I think that Henri gets to continue to build the team in a way that he wants to build it. And I think that that's the larger thing here, is that when you have teams trying to construct during a pandemic, it's difficult economically, and then you're trying to put together what you have when you have it. And so right now this season, Montreal, you got into the playoffs, but because you're playing away from home as much as you were, your home away from home was New Jersey, and that's not much of a home when you're used to playing in Montreal and all the travel and being away from family and all these different things. I think Henri gets a pass this year.
The other game from yesterday was Nashville Inter Miami, 3-0 victory for Nashville.
All right. Here we go. Fire, because I got my phone call.
Okay.
Inter Miami, Jason talked about it this morning on the Power Hour. Jason looked at their lineup, and Diego Alonso probably outthought himself. Yes, you didn't have LGP. Yes, you didn't have Federico Higuain, but you have problems defensively, and your lineup really hurt you going up against Nashville. I think a lot of folks were underselling Nashville, have been underselling Nashville. We've been promoting Nashville and how they've been built under Gary Smith this year. It's been great work by them. Nashville, I think that when you have high-profile players that don't come back and want to play defense, you get results like this that's a part and parcel to everything that we saw. Nashville, big win, fantastic, good work for them. I think that they have Hartford FC next. Today, games start in at the top of the hour. You're looking at Orlando City and NYC. NYC's been hot recently. I'm looking at them to knock off Orlando in Orlando City. The late game at 3 o'clock, Columbus and Red Bulls. Columbus has now moved to the plus side of the margin. They were a minus going in, minus 110 or so. Red Bulls, I don't know what Red Bulls team I'm going to get. Gerhard Struber's in his first match, and you wonder how that's going to translate on the touchline. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a rough day for Red Bulls. I think Columbus gets the Duke at plus 102. I got my phone call. Good to see you. We'll do it again next week.
We will. Thank you. So, with that said, we are going to start looking at what has transpired so far in the college football scene, and we are going to go to the first game of that was on Thursday, and that was Tulsa and Tulane, a victory for Tulsa. Very, very, very defensive game on both sides. It was an overtime win for Tulsa, and I don't know, Tulane is just not there this season. They are having problems with their defensive end. They turned over a lot of the they are turning over more often than non the football, and it's going to be a very interesting result. Now, today, starting at noon, the first game is number 6 Florida against Vanderbilt. Well, and let's say this, Florida traveling to Vanderbilt is going to be an interesting matchup. The Gators are just, in the last couple of weeks, have been in an uproar. I think that they will win today, definitely. But the question is by how much. So that's an interesting game. The next game at noon today is in the Hoosiers against Ohio State. Buckeyes, well, number 3 against number 9. Look, Indiana has been hot, but it's Ohio State again. Ohio is not going to let down, especially at home. The other game today is our Appalachian State against Coastal. Alabama, North Alabama against BYU at 3 o'clock. Wisconsin, Northwestern. That might be a surprise for everybody, but I am picking Northwestern, although because they are at home. So we'll see in that game. Cincinnati, UCF at 3:30. UCLA and Oregon. It's the first time I see UCLA out of the rankings. The interesting thing is with the Bruins is that they do win on the road, so Oregon better watch out and play the defensive end very well. Kansas State travels to Iowa, and I don't see Kansas State doing much there. Number 1 Alabama receives Kentucky. Well, you cannot go into Alabama and expect to win unless some guy from the White House shows up at your stadium and then you lose. But, you know, there is no expectation of Mr. Trump showing up in Alabama this time around. So I will give it to Alabama with probably by 13 or 14 points. Then we have Auburn welcomes Tennessee at home at 7 p.m. tonight. NC State gets to play against Liberty. That should be an interesting matchup. NC State has two of their defensive top defenders out with injury. So that should prove interesting for Liberty. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, the battle of the state, that should be an interesting matchup. Although Oklahoma State is ranked higher, I still say the Oklahoma Sooners will win this one. Number 13, Georgia, welcomes MS State. And USC travels to Utah, and I think USC should come out the better team in that game. Now I want to quickly jump to the NBA because we want to see what has transpired since since we went on the spree for the free agency. Let's see the list of the signings. So here is the first day of the NBA. Christian Wood signs with the Houston Rockets. One of the biggest free agent names, Christian Wood reportedly agreed to a 3-year, $41 million deal with the Houston Rockets. That should prove interesting for the Houston Rockets. Especially if Harden departs. Joe Harris resigns with the Brooklyn Nets. He has agreed to a 4-year deal, $75 million. Montrezl Harrell has signed with the LA Lakers. So with the absence of with Howard leaving the Lakers, now here we go. Montrezl Harrell is now a Laker, and it should be interesting. The deal is worth $19 million. A 2-year deal. Davis Bertāns resigns with the Washington Wizards. 5-year deal worth $80 million. Marcus Morris resigns with the LA Clippers. 4-year, $64 million. Danilo Gallinari signs with Atlanta Hawks. It's a 3-year deal worth $61.5 million. The Hawks continue to make moves to surround young star Trae Young with experienced talents in the hope of making the playoff push next season. Derek Favors signs with the Utah Jazz. Favors returns to the Jazz for a second stint after playing 8.5 seasons in Utah before joining the Pelicans last season. His deal is reportedly worth $27 million over 3 years. Jordan Clarkson returns to the Utah Jazz as well, a 4-year deal, $52 million. Wes Matthews signs with the LA Lakers. So the departure of Matthews from the Bucks is going to be interesting to see what happens there in Milwaukee. It's a 1-year deal for Matthews with the Lakers for $3.6 million. Rodney Hood resigns with the The Trailblazers, a 2-year deal, $21 million. Dwight Howard, as we said, departs from the Lakers to the Philadelphia 76ers. The deal supposedly is a $2.6 million contract, 1-year deal. Jerami Grant signs with Detroit Pistons. It's a 3-year deal, $60 million deal. Steven Adams gets traded to the New Orleans Pelicans from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the Pelicans in return send back George Hill, Darius Miller, and a 2023 lottery first draft pick. DeLon Wright gets traded to the former Raptor. DeLon Wright now gets traded to Detroit. And they send the other way Trevor Ariza, Justin Jackson, and they go to Oklahoma City, while Dallas receives James Johnson and a draft pick. Goran Dragic resigns with the Miami Heat for a reportedly $37.4 million. The second year of Dragic's deal is not guaranteed, preserving the Heat's flexibility for free agency 21-22. Malik Beasley resigns with the Timberwolves. Supposedly, it's a 4-year deal worth $60 million. J'Hal Green signs with Denver Nuggets, a 2-year deal, $50 million. And an interesting sign, De'Aaron Fox signs an extension with the Sacramento Kings. The 22-year-old secures a 5-year rookie max extension at $163 million, which could reach as high as $195.6 million, depending on production. So here are the numbers, 21-22 season, $28.1 million. Then there is 22-23, 30.4, 23-24, 32.6, 24-25, 34.8, 25-26, 37.1. If Mr. Fox joins the all NBA first team, he'll earn an extra 30%. If he lands in the second team, 28%, or in the third team, 26%. Interesting. Mo Harkless signs with the Miami Heat, a 1-year deal worth $3.6 million. Then Sal Ballantyne resigns with the Chicago Bulls, 1 year, 4.7. Michael Carter-Williams resigns with the Orlando Magic. No numbers have been announced. Jacob Poeltl, as you know, former Raptor, signs a 3-year deal worth $27 million to return to San Antonio. Justin Holiday re-signs with the Indiana Pacers for a 3-year deal worth $18.1 million. Robin Lopez signs with the Washington Wizards. No numbers are disclosed yet. Derrick Jones Jr. Signs with the Trail Blazers. There is no money yet there announced. Garrett Temple has agreed to a 1-year deal, $5.5 million deal with the Chicago Bulls. Pat Connaughton has to resigns with the Milwaukee Bucks for $8.3 million deal, a two-year deal. James Ennis resigns with the Orlando Magic. There is no numbers there. Alec Burks signs with the Knicks, $6 million. Alex Burks, as we said, one-year deal, $6 million with New York Knicks. Trey Burke returns to the Dallas Mavericks on a three-year deal. Is expected to be around the $30 million mark. Mason Plumlee signs with the Detroit Pistons, a three-year deal, $25 million. Anthony Gill with the Washington Wizards as well. On a three-year deal. Josh Jackson signs with the Detroit Pistons. Patrick Patterson resigns with the LA Clippers. There is no disclosure there as well. Jahlil Okafor stays with, is expected to sign with the Detroit Pistons. Dwayne Bacon signs with the Orlando Magic. There is no disclosure of numbers there. Drew Eubanks signs with the San Antonio Spurs. Mayer Leonard has reported a two-year deal with $20 million. Facundo Campazzo signs with the Denver Nuggets. Remember that he comes from Real Madrid in the European League. Enes Kanter returns to Portland. No numbers disclosed there yet. And those are the happenings right now as far as we go in the NBA. Let's look at all different stories here. Let's see if we get any more. More news out of the NBA. Let's see if we have anything else coming out. No, and that's it. Just want to remind everybody that this show can be heard on the Barn Burner Radio Network and its 122 platforms on social media. Remember to go to our website, barnburner.ca, for all the news. Remember that Barn Burner is also part of the La Portada Canada family. We provide all the English content for that newspaper. As well, let me remind you that you can, in our website, you can actually look at all the old shows that you have missed. Download them, listen to them, read them. We have a great group of young individuals that report on every single sport across the board. Very talented women that are also contributing a lot to the Barn Burner family and her network. So just remember that Barn Burner, watch it, hear it, read it, download it, but especially leave it, because Barn Burner is sports and sports is Barn Burner. Until Monday, when we come back to you with the Spanish edition at 5 p.m. This has been Eduardo Harari for John Freeman Nelson on the Spanish Sports English edition.